Good to have you in the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see a few people more than we had last week. We had so many sick folks last week, but glad you're here and feeling good. And we pray that the Lord will just bless you as we spend this time together. The Lord's got a blessing for you. It's just a matter of you receiving it as we spend time together. May we pray. Lord, we bow before you this morning, acknowledging that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is none other above you. There is none other God but you. And so, Father, we just pray now that the Spirit of God might touch every heart. Lord, you know our needs. Even before we ask them, you know what our needs are. And so, Father, I pray that today, out of your grace and your mercy, you'll touch us spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, in relationships. But Lord, most of all, draw us closer to you. For Father, we want to seek your face more than we want to seek your hand. We want to know you. And to tell you we love you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're doing things just a little different today. I know we're supposed to sing right now, but I have this little poem that came through. I don't see a lot of interesting things with emails most days, but this one came through and it just touched my heart, which led me to our opening hymn, Let Others See Jesus in You. How to start our day. Be a good human as the world fights to figure everything out. I'll be holding doors for strangers, letting people cut in front of me in traffic, saying good morning, keeping babies entertained in grocery lines, stopping to talk to someone who is lonely, being patient with sales clerks, smiling at a passerby. Why? Because I will not stand idly by and live in a world where love is invisible. Join me in showing kindness, understanding, and judging less. Be kind to a stranger. Give grace to friends who are having a bad day. Be forgiving of yourself today and every day. Be the change. Be the light. Start today and never stop. So that led me immediately when I read that, to let others see Jesus in you. And Jeff, did we do all the verses, honey, or 1, 2, and 4?
All
the verses, that's fine. Stand with me. Let's sing Let Others See Jesus in You. And think about this week. It's really said a lot to me.
Be
like to welcome everybody to Barber's Grove today. I hope everybody's had a good week. We've had a pretty week weather-wise, and we can celebrate that. If we have any visitors today, we'd like to welcome y'all and extend this very special blessing and visit to all that's come to see us today. We appreciate all the visitors. It's good to see Tony here today. That's a blessing right there. Prayers have been answered. All right. Let's get the bulletins. Today at 11 o'clock, there'll be a stewardship meeting. At 5 p.m., there'll be youth and children are to meet. Also, the adult prayer time at 5, and 5:30 be adult church training. Upcoming events this week. 6:30 on Wednesday, the adult Bible study. Next Sunday, the 26th, will be our 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 o'clock worship, 10:15 the children's worship, and of course the normal 11 o'clock worship with at 11 the stewardship committee meeting following worship service. This month is Pastor Appreciation Month. We want to be appreciative of the pastor. Tell him we're thankful for him to be with us, what he does for us, all things, the newsletters, the prayers he gives up for us, the preaching services, everything he does for us. Just let him know how much we appreciate him for this month. And we will take up a love offering on the 26th. The next one, like I said, the stewardship committee, we're planning to meet at 11 today after the worship service. The quarterly conference will be held today following worship service. And you see there on the bottom of the page, the Boston Butt sale. Jeff, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I need to get some orders out of y'all. If I have to, I'll cook one morning so you don't smell it all morning.
That'd probably work. Jar our memories. Okay. That's all the announcements I have. Are there any others? If not, then we'll go to our prayer request. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add today?
Yes, my brother-in-law, Junior Ward.
Junior Ward.
Character.
Ken, we need to remember the family of Justin Martin. That's from Pastor Gary from up the mountain. He's 21 years old and died in a tractor accident last week.
Anyone else? Amen. That's a praise report, sure enough. Thank you, Tony. Okay, anyone else? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this time, dear Lord. We come to you not realizing we are a needy people, Lord. And you know all the needs we have, dear Father. Before we go any further about our needs, dear Father, we just want to stop and think and realize that you are the creator, sustainer. Everything that we have, everything that we are, has been done for us, for you, by you. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, dear Father. But most of all, we thank you for what you've done for us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that cross. Dear Father, we just, it's so inadequate to say just thank you, but that's what we can do and live our lives that will be pleasing to you so that we can serve you in a way that you would have us to. And we thank you for all the blessings you give us. Dear Lord, when we come to you, we know there's many people that would like to be here at their church this morning, but due to sickness and other things, they can't be. And dear Father, we just ask you to be with them, the ones that are burdened, whatever the need, dear Father. We just ask you to be with them at this time. And dear Father, we lift up the lost, dear Father, for it's everlasting too late. Give them some time, dear Father, that they will be able to make the proper decision to follow you, dear Father, and help us help the ones as we go on life's way, dear Father, and all this thing. We just ask in your name, dear Father, we will not forget this morning that the ones that have been lifted up today, dear Father, we just want to ask a special prayer for Tammy. We thank you for what you've done already in blessing her, dear Father, and we look for more blessings as she goes through this period of time of recovery, dear Father. We lift up Charlene. We know she's had some health issues, and we ask for her to be, her health be improved according to your will. Dear Father, we are pleased to have Tony back with us today, and his praise report. Prayers have been answered on his behalf, and we look for others to receive the same blessings. The Lord, we just pray for Doug Burgess as he's having some struggles. Also, Jennifer Hatley, dear Father, we just ask a blessing upon her. Dear Father, and the family of Mr. Junior Ward, lost his life in an accident. We ask you, dear Lord, please bless this family in this time of need, dear Father. Some of these tragedies, Father, that happened so suddenly, such a shock, and we just know this family needs mercy, dear Father. Also, we pray for Hayden Carricker, dear Father. We lift him up to you also. And the family of Justin Martin, we need lift him up to you, dear Father. Father, we just want to thank you for all these things, all these blessings, all these prayers that are being delivered up for these people. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, as we stand and enjoy our video for Open the Eyes of Our Heart, Lord. If you get a little lost in the words, it's okay. Just enjoy the beauty of the video. As Jeff played it this morning, I said, if that is not the most beautiful video, it's such of October and November and the beautiful world that the Lord has blessed us with. So open the eyes of our hearts. Stand with me and let's enjoy singing along and just embracing with the beauty of this video. It's just gorgeous.
Thank Tonda and Kenny for taking over for Leonard this morning. Always appreciate their help. And do you realize you just joined the angels in heaven? You remember in Isaiah? He says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And all around him were seraphims, a form of angels. Six wings, with two they covered their eyes, with two they flew, with two they covered their feet. And from eternity past till eternity forever, they were crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So you just joined the angels in heaven as you sang that little chorus. Let me ask you, did anybody have a unique experience this morning? You woke up, you're still there in bed with your eyes half open, half closed, and you're thinking about your day, and suddenly your church clothes jumped out of the closet and jumped on you. And when you put your feet on the floor, you were dressed for church. That happened to anybody? You say, well, preacher, that's the silliest illustration I've ever heard. Because, preacher, you know, I had to get out of bed. I had to go to my closet. I had to see what I could wear. Now, see, I got a lot of clothes that I'm going to wear as soon as I lose 50 pounds. And then after I saw what I could wear, I had to choose. And with most of us, we chose our clothes. Now, the little kids, mom or dad picked them out. And sometimes the wife picked them out. There are times when I'd put out, you know, I'd put my clothes on the bed and I'd have a shirt and a tie, and my wife would say, honey, that don't match. And sometimes if I was stubborn, I'd wear it anyway, but most of the time I switched. You know, the point being this, you choose what you wear physically. It's your choice. It's your choice what you put on. But it's also your choice what you put on spiritually. In a few moments, we're going to look at some New Testament scriptures where we're told to put on certain things. I'm glad you recognize that we have that personal responsibility for what we wear, and that you choose. And God has put some things in your spiritual closet for you to wear and for me to wear. And we are responsible for whether or not we put them on. Now, God has given us free will, and we don't have to put them on. But if we don't, we're going to miss the blessing of God. If we don't, we're going to not be as useful in the kingdom of God. And if we don't put these on, we're going to be vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. It's our choice. Now, please understand what Christianity really is. Christianity is not walking the aisle, joining the church, getting baptized, and the pastor, the deacons handing you a list of rules and say, live by these and you're a Christian. Christianity is a changed heart from the inside out. The New Testament talks about new birth, birth from heaven, a new creature in Christ, all with the idea that we are different because we've been changed from the inside out. And then we begin to live certain ways. And we are responsible. We're responsible for what we put on. Now, let Let me upset you. If you put on some of these things and begin to live them out, some of them are going to make the Republicans happy and the Democrats sad or mad. And if you live them out, some of the others are going to make the Democrats happy and the Republicans mad or sad. And we have a choice. Are we going to let the Democrats decide what we believe and how we act? Or the Republicans decide what we believe and how we act? Are we going to let God decide how we believe and how we act? In the New Testament, we read about a group of Christians who were told to do certain things, and they said, we prefer to obey God rather than man. And I'll tell you right now, if an outbreak like a virus of New Testament Christianity broke out in America, we'd see revival. Amen. And we need to stop letting other groups decide who's going to tell us how to live. Now that you're properly upset, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is the first of the things we're told to put on. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. He said, we're of the day. We're believers. We're living in the light of the Lord Jesus. And because we're living in the light of the Lord Jesus, we need to be serious, sober, aware of what's going on. And he says, put on faith and love. Faith is to believe the word of God. God said it, it's true, I will believe it and I will act on it. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's in the book of Hebrews. It is impossible to please God if we don't live by faith. If we live in doubt, fear, unbelief, we're not going to please God. But he also says in the scripture, faith works by love, or faith works through love. And so he says, put on not only faith, but love. Put on love. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just give you that reminder of what love looks like. 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul really lays it on the line here. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, doesn't matter how beautiful an orator you are, or whether you can speak in tongues or a spiritual language, it doesn't matter if you don't have a loving heart, so you sound like a cowbell. Clang, clang, clang. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If you could tell us the exact second that the rapture of the church was going to happen and you don't have love, he says, you don't count. It's not that you don't count, but it's a sign that there's a deficiency in your walk with God. If we have all kind of prophecy, all kind of understanding spiritually, but we don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I can be a generous, generous person. I can be willing to die for my faith. But if I don't live in love, God has a problem with me. Love suffers long and is kind. Long suffering. Love suffers long and is kind. Even when people mistreat you, we still love them. Love does not envy. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not full of pride. Doesn't strut. Love does not behave itself unseemly, ungodly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. How hot-headed are we? How easily are we provoked? How quick are we to lose our temper and get angry with other people? How quick are we to cut them off? Love is long-suffering and willing to wait. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love is not happy when it seems wrong. When it sees sin, no matter who, where, what, when, love is not happy. Love is happy when it sees righteousness, godliness, holiness. Now, this is God's definition, not Ed Louder's. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, that long suffering, that willingness to put up with a lot. And every day we choose to live by love or not by love. And it's not a one-time decision. It's a one-time decision that's followed by a moment-by-moment decision. Somebody hurts my feelings. Do I lash out or do I forgive them? Somebody cuts me off in traffic. Do I pull out my pistol and shoot out their back tire? Or do I say, you know, they're having a bad day? I grew up impatient. And years ago, I'd start to the hospital in Charlotte or Concord. And, you know, back then, all the roads were just two lanes. And I'd get beside some old person, and I'd think, I wish they'd just stay home. And sometimes I'd almost run them off the road to pass. Well, now I are the old person. Do we have patience with people that are elderly? Do we have patience with people that, with kids? Kids are a blessing. But does it hurt you when you go to Walmart or someplace and you see some adult jerking a kid around like it's a rag doll? Ought to break your heart. Love bears things. Love endures things. Love puts up with things. And it can happen in our marriage, with our kids, with our parents. Those of us that have dealt with parents who, were elderly and got to the place where they were starting to become a little senile, with a little bit of dementia. It takes a lot of love to put up with that situation. And to realize they would have never been this way 30 years ago. Many of you have put up with that, as I have. He says, love, really. Put on love. He says, love will never fail. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease. All of that's going to happen. Now abide the faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. He says, child of God, put on love. Put on love. Every day you have to choose, am I going to live by love or not live by love? All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 10. And have what? Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And in another scripture, not in this one, but in another one, in another one of his books, he talks about male or female. As well as all of these, you know, Jew nor Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free. Again, put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And see, right there he talks about almost the same things that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about compassion, kindness toward all. It doesn't matter who they are. They can be a Christian and non-Christian. You can be kind toward all. He talks about being gentle, being humble, being unoffendable. The Bible says in the last days, many will be offended and turn away from the Lord. How easily offended are you? How easily offended are you? Patient. Tolerate weakness in others. Forgiving. With love ruling supreme, so that God's peace rules our hearts. And folks, it's a choice. It's a choice as to how much we let love rule our lives. How much we tolerate the weakness in others. How easily we are offended. How forgiving we are. He doesn't say it here, but you know from your scripture studies, he talks about, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saying the Lord. So you forgive and love. We leave up the revenge to the Lord rather than seeking to do it ourselves. That's God's love in us. Oh, you know, I've been to the place where I had to stick my hand in my pocket to keep from slapping somebody. Now, I know none of you holy people have ever been that way, but I've been that way a few times. Even a few fellow Christians. But you make a choice. You do stick your hand in your pocket. It's a choice as to whether we love and fellowship with people or we cut them off. Friday evening, I was texting with a special pastor friend of mine in another state. He's older than me. Years ago, when he was younger, He used to go to a nation in Africa and teach in a Bible school for pastors. And at some point in our texting, he said that he had just raised $20,000 to help one of his former students start a church in that nation. And I was texting him about it, and, you know, did he have all the money he needed and that kind of thing? And he made a comment about the people where he visited, and I knew right then he and I were on the same, were not on the same page politically. Well, I didn't text him back, say, "You stupid ignoramus, I hope God zaps you with a..." I just went on and texted him back about the church that was being started. And we texted for the off and on for the next 2 hours because he was looking for some special materials to be used in that church to train up the kids. And I texted him, said, "Look here, and on this website," and then some, I talked to somebody else and they gave me another website, and I texted him back. You know, he's my friend. He's going to be my friend till he dies or I die or both of us die. And he's going to be my friend for all of eternity. I'm not cutting him off because he and I don't believe the same thing politically. I happen to think he's wrong. But hey, he loves Jesus as much or more than I do. You see, Jesus is telling us, "I put some spiritual gifts in your closet. And I want you to put them on and wear them on a regular basis." Now, we want to look at two more scriptures. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Just because we choose to live in love doesn't mean we put a check mark on sin, either in our lives or the lives of others. He says, put on righteousness and holiness, godly lifestyle, the new man, like Jesus. Put on the new man in righteousness and holiness. If there's a sin being committed, I don't have to go along with it. I may love the person, but I don't condone the sin. I don't have to be ugly and hateful to that person. I can love them and still point out that's contrary to the Bible. Now, the way I do it makes all the difference in the world. I can do it with a hateful, superior, haughty attitude, or I can do it with an humble attitude that says, "My brother, my sister, have you studied God's word to realize God doesn't approve of that?" Can we love and at the same time live for purity? We won't ever reach sinless perfection till we get our glorified body and live in eternity. Amen. But we ought to be becoming more holy, more godly, more pure, more like Jesus every day. One more. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And you've heard numerous sermons on the armor of God about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod with the gospel of peace and shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. Remember when COVID first hit and they show you those pictures on TV and those people like Tonda were wearing the hazmat outfits? You know, they got the outfit and the gloves and the shield and all of this because they're afraid that that virus was going to kill them. And, you know, I visited over a few years somebody in the hospital time to time. They said, you can't go in their room till you put on gloves and a mask and a special little gown and what all that kind of stuff. And when you get out, you throw it in this trash bin. God says, there's somebody out to kill you, destroy you, and it's the devil. But I've given you a spiritual hazmat outfit, the whole armor of God. And you can choose to wear it or not wear it. You can have the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and all of that, or not. Blessed plate of righteousness. You can have all of that, or you can fight the devil without it. Now, just as people in labs or in hospitals or in doctor's offices that try to do their very best to not be contaminated and contract some disease, God says, listen, put on the whole armor of God. Now, there's other scriptures, but for the sake of time, we'll stop right there. But folks, just as you didn't get up, you didn't lay there in bed this morning and let your clothes jump out of the closet on you. You chose. We choose every day. Are we going to live in love? Are we going to live with faith? Are we going to live in righteousness? Are we going to put on the armor of God? That's our choice. God wants us fully clothed so that we can walk in peace, joy, victory. And what's that first song we sang about an hour ago? Let others see Jesus in you. If, as I said earlier, if we could have an outbreak of New Testament Christianity, it revolutionized the United States. And we need it desperately. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, join the church, whatever, we invite you to come. Right where you are, would you say, Lord, enable me to make Jesus the Lord of my life, the Lord of what I wear as far as attitudes and actions every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As Tonda leads us in a verse,
stand with me. I have decided to follow Jesus.
If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, would you come?